Today's daf is Shabbos daf Tzadik Vav. Shabbos Tzadik Vav, and we are on Tzadik Hey Amin Beis, right by five lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Asi, and just one point from yesterday, which I forgot to mention. I apologize, but there was a lot of other things happening in the daf. But yesterday there's two lines of Tosfos that are discussed by many of the Achronim. Going back to Tzadik Hey Amin Aleph for a moment, at the end of Tosfos Vaharode, Tosfos asks that our Gemara says that there's an isser of making cheese. Megabein is chayev mishum bona, is chayev for bona. But says Tosfos lechora on yantif, that is could be one of the melechas ochel nefesh, right? Megabein. That's why the Rashba asked, you know, why would you be chayev on yantif? Maybe it's only by a non kosher animal. But ask Tosfos, if we say that bona is one of the melechas allowed for ochel nefesh, then why wouldn't we apply the principle of mitoch by bona? Mitoch, as we know, the principle from Maseches Beisa, mitoch shehutra letzarech ochel nefesh, hutranami shelo letzarech ochel nefesh. Once a certain malacha is mutter for ochel nefesh on yantif, so then we would say it's mutter even for non-ochel nefesh purposes. So for example, using hot water to wash my hands on Shabbos. Why am I allowed to do that? Why? Because once bishul was used, is mutter for ochel nefesh, bishul is mutter for yantif ochel nefesh, so too is mutter shlolo ochel nefesh a yantif. So there are many different examples of this. The principle of bitoch and the machlokas Rashi Tosfos there, how much of a tzorach do you need? But either way, that's the principle of bitoch. So it says Tosfos, if bone is one of the malachas, then I should be able to build a house on yantif. I should be able to build a house. If bone is mutter tzorach ochel nefesh, I should be able to build a house, which is shlolo tzorach. Says Tosfos, table re, the first wide line in Tosfos. Kiva de mutter legabein, biyatif midatora, afilo beefshar, afilo yehe mutter midrabanan, vachulu, ibkein, nafal beso biyatif, yehe mutter levnosa biyatif. This is one of those questions that there has to be an answer to. But he says you should be able to build your house on yantif because bone is one of the malachas that are mutter. To be tov shehuter binyan litzorech, to megabein havi mishem bone, hutanam mishlo litzorech. As long as there is a tzorech hayom, as long as there's some type of tzorech hayom, you want to eat in the house, you don't want to be in the sun or in the cold, right? So then that's Tosfos kasha, right? By the way, lishitaso of Tosfos and Maseches Beitza, who says that there has to be some tzorech hayom ksas against Rashi there, who says, in the first parak in Beitza, who says that even shalol tzorech, but Tosfos says you need a tzorech hayom ksas. And Tosfos says you should be able to build a house on yantif to live in, to be able to eat in, to live in. Good. What's Tosfos' answer? Tosfos' answer is basically inochinami. Inochinami says Tosfos is only aser derabanan because of uvdin dechol. V'yesh lomar says Tosfos on yesterday's daf. The aser midrabanan, the avi uvde dechol, ki hechi da asur and tchina varkada biyantif. Just like other early malachos in the process of grinding and sifting, that's all aser on yantif derabanan. That's Tosfos Ashita. So says Tosfos, so to this. So that's an amazing Tosfos. It says mida oraisa, you can build a house on yantif because mitoch, because megabein is mutter, and that's bonus. So too otherwise says the Pnei Yoshua. I can't believe it. Can't believe it. You can build a house on yantif? Can't be. So Tosfos, the Pnei Yeshua says no. There's got to be another answer to Tosfos' question. Nearly borer. The Hada Amrinan. When the Gemara said the Megabin is chayiv mishabone, is that making cheese for today? Is that the chayiv mishabone? No. He says, Hayudafka de Megabin, kedeli. If you make cheese for today, says the Pnei Yeshua, that's not going to be miskayemes. So it's going to be derabanan anyway. So what's the case of Megabein that's going to be Aser Mishum Boneh? That's where you're going to make cheese to last a long time. And that's not Mutter on Yantif. The Boneh that's Mutter on Yantif, says the Pnei Yeshua, is not normal Boneh that we would do. Not regular cheese making. Hayrodafka de Megabein Kedeli Yabsham. Ula Hatsnia Lizvan Baruba. Ola mochran de bekiyai gavne tzorach la'asosan ulasachna kein binyan kidei she yiskayim v'lo yisparek ava b'megabein kidei la'achlo la'alter, but to do gibun, to do make cheese, to eat it right away on that day, that's not bona. That's not a daraisa that would be mutter for heterochal nefesh. That's not daraisa. So the question does it get off the ground? Tosfos says, hey, if bone, which is a malacha daraisa, is mutter on yantif because of ochel nefesh, so too a parallel malacha of bone daraisa should be mutter on yantif. Says the Bnei Yeshua, no. The bone that's mutter on yantif, you don't need, that's not the daraisa. Remember, the Gemara is not talking about ochel nefesh at all. The Gemara is talking about Shabbos Megabein. When is that also daraisa? That's talking about where you make cheese to last forever. That's the case. That's not mutter on yantif. That's not, doesn't have the tzorach ochel nefesh. So there is no bone daraisa that has the heter of ochel nefesh. But Melo tells us this question falls away. That is the Bnei Yeshua's ha'ara. On Tosis' question, what about building a sukkah? That's also not miskayim. But again, that's it might be miskayim on sukkahs because it's achshave, because you give it a certain status. I saw also the later I talk about not how to make cheese. So this relates a little bit, not exactly, but a little bit. What about making ice cubes on Shabbos? Says he can't make be megabe, can't make the liquid to the solid. So maybe you might compare this to making ice cubes. But I saw in the Maoris Hadaf here, one of the Daf Yomi pages, he points out some summary of the poskim that there's a difference between making milk to cheese and making water to ice. First of all, we mentioned in the past that the Shmir Shabbos says lamaisa, lamaisa, lamaisa. If one needs to, one can. Machlokas a poskim with Tzorach Shabbos, if you can have a lot of guests and the drinks weren't in the fridge and you want to have a cold, it's a hot day. You know, then one would be able to for a tzorach. But there's a difference. You cannot compare it to purely to gibun. Why? He goes a number of points. Number one, he says, milk becomes cheese only with human input. It has to be treated and stirred until the curds form. Man has to do something. You can't just like leave it out. Masha Enkein, water becoming ice, Kadosh Baruch Hu does that. Okay, I put it into the situation. I put it into a cold area. But Kadosh Baruch Hu really does the entire process. Number one, why it's more mako. Number two, making something into cheese, that's permanent. Right? I did something into cheese, so now if I leave it out, it's not going to turn back into milk. It's a permanent status. Mashenkein, water into ice cube, that's not a permanent status. If I take it out of the freezer, obviously we know what happens. And third, the next point is that there's a chemical process that happens when, I mean, this is all connected, when milk becomes cheese and the solids collect into one mass of cheese. By water, it's obviously a chemical process also, but no component parts combine. The entire body of water as one converts to ice. That's what he quotes from the Chuvis based on the chemistry. Says Eliezer and the Yechavadas. That's why there are differences in halacha between making the liquid into solid. It's not just liquid into solid. You got to look exactly what we're talking about. Milk into cheese is different than water into ice cubes. He just quotes at the end, but it's in the Shmir Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman allowed putting melted ice cream back into the freezer. That's also not. It could be. That's more like water to ice than milk into cheese. Okay, it's an important discussion. Again, based on yesterday, Tosfos and the Pnei Yeshua. You can't learn Tzadikei and Shabbos without that Tosfos and without that Pnei Yeshua. So I apologize for keeping everyone in the dark for 24 hours, but Baruch Hashem, we have it out right now. Okay, let's get back to our discussion. So the Gemara on Tzadikei Mabez quoted Rava. Or Rava quoted a Braisa that said, there are five midos b'kli cheres. There are five different measurements when it comes to a kli cheres in terms of the holes that it gets. Every hole, as it gets bigger and bigger, affects another halacha. A tiny little hole doesn't really do much. It only makes a difference if it was already a broken piece, and now it breaks it again. So we're going to get to again today, today's daf, that's a gistera. And then the next level hole makes it not be able to be used for paraduma. And the next level makes it considered mechubar for hekshel kabotuma. And the next level makes it lose its tame status, if it was tame, unless you thought that you're going to use it for pomegranates. And the next level is, even if you thought you were going to use it for pomegranates, so that it gets such a big hole, it is tahar. And tahar miklum. And then the last line of what was quoted said, and we're going to pick up with this now, the last line said, if it was hukaf tzamid pasil, if this kli, six lines from the bottom, if it was mukaf tzamid pasil, which we know it was covered with a tight-fitting cover, shaden ache yifchas rubo, until most of it gets a hole, until that point, it is still considered a kli. So what exactly does ache yifchas rubo mean? That we just mentioned the end of yesterday's Shir Rashi, but really it's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosis. What does that mean? Ashi Yefchas Rubo. According to Rashi, it's an unbelievable chiddush. We just mentioned it at the end, and that is according to Rashi. That line means if I have a huge hole in my bowl, a huge hole enough that a pomegranate can fall out of it, as long as it has a tight fitting cover on top, and it's in an ohel hameis, the tumah does not go through. And therefore, whatever's inside the kli is tahar. Even though you have this huge hole in the side of the kli. The huge hole. Rashi says, tumah only goes through a pesach. And therefore, because this was a hole that got, it broke, it became something afterwards, and the pesach is tightly closed, that is good enough. Listen to the second to last line in Rashi, on the Amud says, Achiv Chasrubo, Dekol kli pasuach ksiv, eri kli pasuach, an open kli. But the language uses pasuach, Dekol derech pesach lichneches lo atuba, velo derech nekavav. That is Shitas Rashi, which the Achronim say, that's pretty amazing. And they're not only the Achronim, they're Rishonim, Tosis. Tosis is printed on the next Amud. So this is considered today's daf. Tosis on the Gavavim and Aleph. Tosis says, I don't understand. You have a huge hole in there. How could the tumah not go through? So what? It's tightly fitting on top. How can the tumah not go through? So Tosfos has to, and the Rishonim have to explain for Rashi that according to Rashi, like Rashi says, it's not about just being open. According to Rashi, if you have this hole to begin with, and it was supposed to be another entrance into the kli, then you're right, tumah would go through. It's just that this is called a shever. It's something that's not supposed to be there. So that's the only reason why the tumah goes through. Right, looking at that Tosfos on Tzadik Vavim and Aleph. Look about the 15th line or so. The Ri explains Rashi. V'yomer Ri. The Rabbeinu Tam asks a bunch of questions on Rashi, saying, "Look, it has, if it's open, it's open, it's open." Says the Ri, "No, in all those cases, it was meant to be there." Devadai. See right here about 15th line of Tosfos. Devadai. BePesach nichneses l'tuma afilu derech nekev katan ubiina nashi yistom legamre kol haPesach. Right, if the hole is there to begin with, and it's supposed to be there, then fine. Even a tiny little hole would be able to ruin, and the tumah would go through. Ulahak yitzarach meruach, and you have to smear on the tar that is closing it. V'yahid debein mipia, bein mitzideyem, lo mayrishen nikvu, kishavar minatzad, elanase letzarach pesach. All those cases, Rabbeinu Tam has five different questions on Rashi, those are all cases where the hole was meant to be there. Rashi's talking about a case where it's not supposed to be a Pesach, so there amazingly, even though it has this big hole on the side of it, tumah does not go through as long as the cover is tight-fitting. That is Shitas Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam, though, argues. Rabbeinu Tam argues that he says it can't be, there has to be a different shot of this line of the Gemara. Again, what line are we trying to explain? We have all the different shiurim. And then it said, if it was mukaf, summit pasil, ashi ifchas rubo. So Rashi says that means until most of it gets a hole, so then it ruins its status of a kli. Rabbi Tam says, no, a different shot. Different shot is, it's a chiddush in summit pasil. We know there's a rule of summit pasil, as long as it's closed up. What if you have a big hole that you close up? You closed up the hole. You have a hole, you got a big hole on the side of your kli, and you put cement and you closed it up. Rabbeinu Tam holds that once it broke rubo, then even if you cover it up, it doesn't help. Because it loses the status of a kli, that's what Ashiv Chaz rubo means. Up until rove, but once it's rove, then summit puzzle doesn't help. Even if you closed up this hole. That was Rabbeinu Tam, about the 10th watt medium line in that same Tosis. Rabbeinu Tam Efarish Bishmaitzin Hachi. This is what the Gemara means. Actually, if chazrubo, moel summit, pasil, im hanekavim nistamim. If it's closed. Of course, if it's open, the tumah goes through. Rashi, come on. Aval, right, arguing on the Zeta. Aval benifchas rubo, o bimotzi rimon, shuv ein moeles stima. Closing it up wouldn't help, says Rabbeinu Tam. El avika ochle, shigilim betit, she'eni tzolin. It's like, let's say you have a pie. You have a pie, a very tall pie. So it has an inside, right? There's height in there. So says Rabbi Tam, is that going to save it at some, if there's something inside? Let's say it's the Shabbos after Pesach, and I'm making shlussel challah. I put the key inside, and it's in an ohel hameis. So you're going to tell me that that's not tamei? That's food. That's not a kli. The whole din of some puzzle only applies by a kli. So even if it's something that's closed up, it might not save. So says Rabbi Tam, if you have a kli that's mostly broken, that's rubo, and you close it up, so what? Doesn't matter that you close it up. it's still going to be a problem. Reb Chaim explains this, Rabbeinu Tam, that Simin, it says in the Gracha Lashas, Simin Shin Tzadik Hei, that for Rabbeinu Tam, he doesn't call Rashi so much, Rabbeinu Tam, there are two requirements for the heter, for the protection of Tzamid Pasil, of the tight-fitting kli. Number one, it has to be a kli. Number two, it has to be tight-fitting. So if you don't get the first base, you don't get to step one, nothing to talk about. According to Rabbeinu Tam, once it's nifchas rubo, then it doesn't matter if you close it up. It's not a kli anymore. And if it's not a kli, then forget it. You don't have the heter. Only once it's a kli, then you can get to the heter of Tzamid Pasil. Again, two totally different pshatim of the Gemara. Both of them are mechudish. Both of them, in their own way, are kedushim. Maybe what's the root of the machlokas? You can have five different options. Maybe it's a machlokas about Tzamid Pasil. Maybe it's a machlokas about how to view tumma in general. Right, if you have an open space, Rashi says tumma doesn't go through. Even if it's a huge space, right? Different machlokas. Again, you read this Gemara, you don't think it's so exciting, but this line really is a major machlokas between Rashi and Tosis. Okay, we continue now. Now we are five lines from the bottom. Tzadik hei amid beis. Amar Rav Asi. Shamati kli cheres shi'uro kamotzi rimon. I heard that kli cheres has that shear, meaning shear number five that we had. Motzi rimon. Amale Rava. Shemalo shamata ele b'mukat samit pasil. Maybe you heard that this shear is important and significant for samit pasil. Is that what it is? So the Gemara says, 1 minute. V'haravu damar, but didn't Rava just say not? Mukav samit pasil ash yivchas rubo? Didn't we just say that yivchas rubo, most of it's broken, that's the significant shear when it comes to samit pasil? Lo kasha, habaravu vi ha bizutri. It depends if we're talking about a big kli or a small kli. A big kli has the shear of yivchas rubo. A small kli might have a smaller shear because... proportionally, that is what would ruin the shaved kli. Good. Amar Avasi, so what we're going to do now is what we already said outside yesterday, but now the Gemara elaborates a little bit more. Amar Avasi, shonin, we learned from the word Mishnah, from the word Tanaim. Remember, Tana means a shonin, a tough and shin switch in Aramaic. Shonin, kli cheres shiura bekonis mashke. A kli cheres, the shear is kones mashke, right, which was the second shear on our list. When, what was Kone's mashke? Sometimes you have a tiny little hole in, let's say, a cup. If you would put that cup into a bowl of water, water would not go in. It's so small. Water would go out if there was water inside, but the second shear, therefore, is Kone's mashke. Even water would go in there. So, kli char shear, but Kone's mashke, v'lo amru motzi mashke elein gistra belvad. Motzi mashke, the shear of letting water out, is only important for gistera. As we said yesterday, gistera means a broken shard that is still somewhat usable. My taima, why is that important for gistera? Amar marzutra, breid Rabbi Nachman, lafisha ein omrim, have a gistera, la gistera. Because we don't say, bring a gistera to a gistera. Meaning, if you have a kli that broke once, you still might use it. Once it breaks a second time, you know, you're like, forget it. I'm gonna keep this, it's falling apart. Even though, if that small break would have happened the first time, I would keep it. But once something is already broken, you know, this is the final straw. You know, you already throw it out and get a new one. We have that by all different types of kalim in our house. We know the next time something like that happens, we should say, Ein omrim have a gistera la gistera. Right? We gotta get a new one. That's what it says here. That's what the first shear is not really a shear, says Rav Asi, for normal kalim. Normal kalim starts with the second shear of Kone's mashke. Amar ula pligi batrei amorai b'ma'arava tu amoraim in Eretz Yisrael had the following argument. Rashi says the issue was hechsher zra'im. That's what we're talking about here. What was the shear? Rav Yossi bar Avid, Rav Yossi bar Zavda. Chad amar kemotzi rimon v'chad amar kesharish katan. Or we said yesterday sharish katan. That was the shear for hechsher zra'im. Remember, what does it mean the shear for hechsher zra'im? The shear that if there is this size hole and the root could go through, so then it is considered attached to the ground, and if it gets wet, it's not hechsher lekabel tuma. Hechsher lekabel tumah is only once something is detached from the ground. But if it has this hole and the root could go through a shorish katan, so then it is considered attached and it can't be mukshar. V'simanech, how do you remember, in this machlokas, how do you remember what the two shiurim are? Echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit. The greater shear and the smaller shear. What does that mean? Motzi mayim, that's not even a shear. We said before, that's like gistera. And most people hold kalim in order to either the largest is the motzi rimon, there's nothing bigger than that, and the other shear, right, is the machnis mayim. We met meaning number two and number five, as we said yesterday. Basically, the way you remember the two shitas in this machlokas is the biggest and the smallest, excluding number one, which we said is separate. That's only important for gistera. But that's the Gemara just has a mnemonic. How do you remember what are the two shiurim that are involved here? The largest one, which is motzi rimon, and the smallest one, besides the first one, and that is shoresh katan. Again, as Rashi explains why excluding the motzi and machnis mayim. There is what is this quoting from? Echad Amar v'Echad Amamitz. If you remember, it's quoting from the last Mishnah Menachos. Last Mishnah Menachos, which has the hashkafa to end the Masechta, that where the Mishnah says that the whole Masechta is about Menachos flour. Who brings a carbon mincha? A poor person. So you should know, even though this Masechta Zvachim, you should know Masechta Menachos is not less significant. Echad Amar v'Echad Amamitz, uvavashi yichabin libo l'shamayim. As long as your heart is to heaven, and that is what Rashi quotes in Parshas Vayikra, I think it's in Perek Beis, where we talk about carbon mincha. Even a carbon mincha and ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just as happy with the flour as he is with the carbon. We mentioned it whenever this line comes up, but you can't not mention it, B'shem Rabbi Kiva Eger. We mentioned it first back in Menachos. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, we mentioned it in Masechta Shavuos, where it comes up in the first parak in Shavuos. Echad Amar v'Echad Amamitz. Ubavashi chavin libo, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, lave, which is the beginning and the end of the Torah. Torah starts with a base and ends with a lamid. Lave, if you look at the letters before and after lamid and base, before and after base is aleph and gimel. Before and after lamid is kaf and mem. If you put those together, so before the base is the aleph, before the lamid is the kaf, ach. And after the Beis and the Lamed is Gimel and Mem Gam. Ach and Gam. Ach is always an exclusionary word, a limiting word. Ach ba Yom HaRishon. Ach ba L'chalek. While Gam is always including. More. Gam L'Rabos. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger. Echad Amarbe ve'echad Amamed. Whether somebody is doing more, the Gam, or whether somebody is doing less, Ach uvashi chavin libo, the laves in the middle. As long as his heart's in the middle, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Echad Amar v'Echad Amamitz. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger. Take home, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Okay. Good. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Chinina Bar Kahana Mishmei de Rebbe Eliezer. And again, Rashi mentions what I said outside, that the Mashkesh Shiurim are not mentioned here because that nobody would make a mistake, such tiny shiurim, thinking that would be good enough to be considered mechubar. Good, but now we continue with the next machlokas. Amar Rav Chinina Bar Kahana, Mishmei de Rabbi Eliezer, Kli Cheres, Shiura Kamotzi Zesim. The shiur of a Kli Cheres is Kamotzi Zesim. Meaning the average Kli Cheres, as we said yesterday, whatever you normally use it for, Stam Das, is to use it for small things like olives. And once it gets a hole that size, it would become Tahar. Umar Kashish, Shebrei de Rabba, Misayim Ba, Mishmei de Rabbi Eliezer, Fahari Hain, once they get a hole this size, then they have the status of Kli galalim, ukli avanim, ukli adama. Then they have the status of these other types of kalim made out of stone or earth or fertilizer, galalim. Shema kablin tumma, lomi divri tar, lomi divri sofrim. Then I'm makabal tumma. Once it has a hole this size, it's like these other kalim that are mufka from being makabal tumma. Ula inyan summon pasil, achiv chaz ruba. But regarding summon pasil, you go by Rubo. As we said before, Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosus. Good. Hadal Chabatzniya, that takes us through the first 10 prakim of Masechta Shabbos. 11th parak. The final parak, I think, believe that there. The final parak that whose major discussion is Hotza'ah. The Me'iri says right here, Kedarko Bakodesh, as he always tells you what to expect in the parak, the Me'iri says that this parak I've already mentioned, the Masechta started off with Hotza'ah. Many issues of Hotza'ah. First Mishnah. We went into a little Erev Shabbos and Halakas Neira stuff, and Shehi and Hatmana, that was the second parak, the third parak, the fourth parak, that got a little off track because we were talking about Erev Shabbos Halakas. But then we got back to Hotza'ah issues with a little break for a little discussion of the other malachas. But he says, now we're finishing it. We went through the Shiur Bahotzah, the last couple of prakim. The last parak was all about rules and regulations of Hotzah, which apply to other malachos, though. We spoke about Shinui. We spoke about other issues. And now the Meiri says, now we go into extensions of Hotzah. Hotzah usually means I take something and I walk out with it. But now we're going to talk about throwing. We're going to talk about passing. That is toldus of Hotzah. And after this, says the Meiri, we are up to the other malachas of Shabbos. That's what the 12th parak starts off with, all the malachas. Habone, ha'oreg, all the other malachas are going to come onto the screen. But this parak is lahashlim mashebami mena bezos ha'mesechta. Leva'er inyani zrika bo'shata, she'im b'chlal hotzah, v'toldo shalah, rab yavo, hadvar mifuzar mimena, b'inyani tiltu, b'ksasa prakim ha'boim, v'chulu. So the Meiri says that's what we have to expect in this parak. The Bartanura right here reviews for us something that we had back in the first parak. Just to understand, he says, remember the four Rishuyos of Shabbos. He just repeats it here. Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, Makom Ptur, and Carmelis. We have to just remember those four. Rishus HaRabim, if you remember, well, Rishus HaYachid, we start off. Rishus HaYachid is any area which is Dalet al Dalet with Mechitzos that are 10 Tfachim high. That is a Rishus HaRabim de Oraisa. How many Mechitzos do you need? At least, let's say three. Three for sure. Three for sure is a Rishus HaYachid, maybe two according to some Rishonim, but three Bechitzes for a, everybody agrees, for a Rishus HaRabim D'O, right? So it could be any large Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa, any large area. It could be a huge area if it's surrounded. On a Durabana level, we say if it's a huge area and it was not made for residential purposes, then it could have the status of a Carmelis. Right, a karpe shluhuka fladira. But at a daraisa level, it's a rishus hayachid. Then we have rishus harabim, which is not roofed, 16 amos wide, and machlokes. Remember we had earlier, Rashi and Tosfos, whether you need 600,000 walking across every day. We're going to get back to that today. But that was 2 days of the Shulchan Aruch. 2 days of the Shulchan Aruch, machlokes we showed him, then we discussed that then. Then you have the different cases of karmelis, and the different cases of makom ptur. Remember what the machlokas, what karmelis means? Karmelis might mean ki almana. Armelis, armela. Like an almana, which is, she's not married, but she's not a psula. She's somewhere in the middle. That is an almana. Okay, with that background, we'll get back to the Meiri. Says the Mishnah. Hazorek, mirushas ha'yachid, which is a rabbi. Mirushas ha'rabbi, which is a yachid, chayef. So, step one is, throwing is chayef for hotzah. If I throw something from one rishus to another rishus, I am chayef d'araisa. I don't have to move my body with the item. If I throw it, it's also d'araisa. Next, what about this case? May rishus hayachid, rishus hayachid, rishus rabim be'emsa. What if I go from two sides of the street, and there's a street in the middle? The akira is in one rishus hayachid, the hanacha is in the other rishus hayachid. So is that going to be chayiv d'araisa on Shabbos? Machlokas. Rabbi Akiva machayiv, Rabbi Akiva is chayiv. We had this back in the first parak, the svara being kluta. Kami shehuncha damya, as it passes through the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, it's as if it rested in Rishus HaRabim. So even though physically you're only doing one act, it's as if he did two acts. Akira hanacha, akira hanacha. It's as if it rested in the street. V'chachamim potri and l'chamsei pater. Kate said, what's the source? Shtei kuzistro zu kenegezu Rishus HaRabim. This is the case. If you have two porches that are opposite each other in Rishus HaRabim, have moshit Bahazoreg Mizula Zu Pater. You're going to be Pater in that case. You're going to be Pater because you're going, you start and end off in Rishus HaYachid, according to the Rabbanan. Ha Yushtein, but Yuta Achaz. But the Rabbanan agree in this case. If both porches are on the same side of the street, you just have a little bit of street in the middle, so then they'll agree by Hamoshit Chayiv. If I stretch and hand it over the Rishus HaRabim, that I would agree is Chayiv D'Araisa. Even though Hazorig Pater, Zorig is still Pater. Why? Why would they agree by Hoshata? Shekach Chayisa Avodes HaLeviim. That's what the Leviim did in the Midbar. What do you mean? Shteagol Zuka Acharzu. How they used to line up. Rashi explains. Whenever the Anan, right, the Anan started moving. They said, oh, we gotta go, we gotta go. So the Anan waited for a moment, and the Leviim set up four wagons. Two behind the Anan, and two right behind them. So there were four. They were two and two. And they used to pass things from the wagons front to back and back to front. That's the way they passed it. Meaning it's similar to the same side of the street. So that's what they passed. They did Hoshata. They never threw. They did Hoshata. That's what the Rabbanan would say. That's what they did in the Mishkan. That would be okay. So Shtiagolo, Zuachar Zu, Birushus Harabim, Moshit and Akrashim, Izulazu, they used to pass the boards from one to the other, Avolo Zarkin, but they wouldn't throw them. Why wouldn't they throw them? Last two words in Rashi. Rashi says, Mipnei Kovdan, because they were very heavy. The Yerushalmi here says, Mipnei Kivodan, because of the kavod for the Krashim. Right? Nafgamina, the Chasam Sofer says, what do you have something small in the Mishkan? Would they throw it? Nafgamina. So some Achronim say maybe there's a misprint in Rashi. Maybe it should be Kivodan and not Kivedan. Maybe there should be another, the Vav should be after the Vase instead of before the Vase. That's a, either it's Machlokas, Rashi, and Yerushalmi, or that's what Rashi means. Either way. Good. Next, Ha'ara. The Me'iri, again, before we turn over, has an important, you can turn over if you want. And the Me'iri has a very important question. The Chachamim agree by Hoshata from on the same side. Once Hoshata was in the Mishkan, so why do we focus so much on the details? If Hoshata was in the Mishkan, and it has some street in the middle, it has some Rishus Rabbim in the middle, so why don't we say, once we know Hoshata, then even if it's the different sides of the street, what are we so medactic for about, you know, by other malachis, if it's not exactly as it was in the Mishkan? Says the Meiri, no. Once it was in the Mishkan, why don't we say, Ma'inyin, shenedaktik be'eza derech haisa ha'ushata. Umikom makom ha'ushata haisa sham. Right? It was ha'ushata there. So says the Meiri in Apur and Ha'ara. Yira'eh, says the Meiri, me'ikir hadin, this whole thing should be pater, because it's above 10 tfachim. And we know, we learned back in the first parak, above 10 tfachim in Rishus HaRabim is a makom p'tur. Rishus HaYachid is ola ala rakia. But Rishus HaRabim stops. So here, when they're passing things on top of the wagons, it's really through a makom p'tur. They did it in the Mishkan, you're going to be chayiv, ein lecha bo ela chidusho. We're going to limit the chiddush once you, really, because you should be pater, logically. But the rabbanan say you're chayiv, we're not going to say you're chayiv in every case, only specifically in this case. And then he adds another question, why don't you pater because of shnayim she'asa'uhu? Two people are involved, says the Miri, no, because that's how you do hoshata. Hoshata involves two people. This is the Maisa. So you can't have the Petur Shnayim Shesa'uhu if this is the normal Maisa. Good. Just one final Ha'ara, and that is, we're talking about throwing the boards or throwing items of the Mishkan because it's a zilzel, possibly. It's coven. So I just thought I just came across it recently, so I just thought I'd mention it again. I don't know if I mentioned this a couple of days ago. Do we ever throw anything? Anything with Kedusha? So we generally try not to. What about Chala? What about throwing the challah at the Shabbos table? So Mikra did. The Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't throw challah. Shulchan Aruch says in Simin Kuf Ayin Aleph Ein Zarkin Pas Bishem Bizayon Ochlim. Not supposed to throw food, right? Somebody wants to get a piece of challah, we're not supposed to throw it. But we also have to remember the other Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Ilchus Kuf Samach Zayin in Aruch Chaim. The Shulchan Aruch says we're not supposed to hand it to anybody either. That's the makar for baskets. The makar for challah baskets is because the Shulchan Aruch quotes. It's not just a voodoo. The Shulchan Aruch quotes. You're not supposed to hand it to people because that's Derech Avelim. Derech Avelim based on a pasuk in Eicha. Perisa Tzion Biyadeha. It's a pasuk in Eicha that we're all Avelim. So, you know, by an Avel, you give the food in their hand. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, Eina Botzea Nosei Biyada Ochel Elam Kein Haya Avel. Perisa Tzion Biyadeha Remez Leprusas Hamotzi Shnosei Biyada B'shatz Avelim. That's why we're supposed to put it down. Well, to put it down. Again, if somebody does it, it's not the end of the world. Right? But this is a halacha Shulchan Aruch. That's why we put it in they can pass the basket. Pass the basket in somebody's hand. That's not putting the challah in their hand. It's a basket, right? We don't have to be a machadish, new gzeris. But that's why we have baskets. Put it down on the table or a pet, but not to throw it. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Because of the covet, like here, we're not supposed to throw, the items in the Mishkan. Okay. Says the Gemara Michdi. Let's see. Zrika, we could spend a lot of time on this Amud. We'll have to see what we can do. Michti, Zrika, Tolda, the Hotzahi. Zrika is a Tolda of Hotzah. Hotzah, Gufa, Echaksiva. Where is Hotzah written in the Torah? As Tosfos, we refer to this Tosfos a number of times already, the Masechta. What do you need a Pasuk for? It says, Losasa Kol Malacha. What do you need a Pasuk for by Hotzah? The Gemara doesn't ask by any other Malacha. How do you know? So it says, Tosfos, Hotzah, Milacha, Gerua. Hotzah is the inferior type of malacha, right? We had this back on Dav Beis. We just had this a couple of days ago. Remember the Pnei Yeshua? A couple of days ago, Hotzah malacha geruah, and therefore you need a makar for it. You need a makar for it here. Good. Pnei Yeshua also here, if you want to look at it, deals with why is this question asked here and not on Dav Beis. We've mentioned Hotzah before. Sounds like only once we see that Zrika is an extension of Hotzah, that's when the Gemara asks. Zrika's Hotzah, but how do you know Hotzah? So it's somewhat connected. Amar Rabbi Yochanan da Amar Kra, Vayitzav Moshe, Vayaviru Kol B'Machaneh. Moshe commands and is Mavir Kol B'Machaneh. Moshe, Heichan Havi Yasiv, where was Moshe? B'Machaneh Leviyah. He was in the Machaneh Leviyah. U'Machaneh Leviyah, Rosh Hasharabim Havi. And Moshe, in other words, was in Rosh Hasharabim. He was in Machaneh Leviyah. V'Kamar Lehuli Yisrael, and he said to Bnei Yisrael, Lo Tafiku V'Taisu Mirosh Hasayachid, Ditzchulu Rosh Hasharabim. Don't bring any more donations. That's what he's saying. Don't bring any more donations. So he's saying, don't be motzi from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hazarabim. Says the Gemara, how do you know that's talking about Shabbos? Umimayde b'Shabbos koyi dilma b'choka. Maybe it's just weekday. Umishum d'shalim alei malacha. Maybe he just didn't want any more donations. D'chsev ha-malacha yisadayim v'chulu. How do you know that this pasuk is about Shabbos and about the malacha v'otzah? Says the Gemara, gzeira shava. Gomar, right, that's the question. That's what Gomar is asking. How do you know it's on Shabbos? And how do you know we're supposed to...
I'm saying that the Melechas HaMishkan wasn't on Shabbos. So anything that had to do with Melechas HaMishkan was...
So you learn that from there. It didn't have to be on Shabbos. But how do you know? I think the word's not only asking, how do you know it was on Shabbos? How do you know it's about this act of Hotzah? Maybe Moshe is saying, don't bring me any more money. That's all it's saying. And if it's not on Shabbos, then it's not. You're right. All the malachas that were done during the week in the Mishkan were not allowed to do on Shabbos. But this is asking you, how do you know this is about that malacha? Says the Gemara, Gamar ha'avar ha'avar amir yom ha'kipurim. Zer shava. K'siv ha'cha v'yavir ko b'machaneh. It says by Shabbos, that pasuk. V'k'siv ha'sam v'ha'avarta shofar trua. It says by yom kippur of Yovel. V'ha'avarta shofar trua. Ma'ala ha'lan b'yom aser. Just like there is on a day of Isser. Avkan b'yom aser. So to here, b'yom aser. I saw quoted, once we're on the Pnei Yeshua topic, I saw quoted in the name of the Pnei Yeshua. This is not in the Pnei Yeshua. It's quoted in Shuvah's Beis Ephraim in the name of the Pnei Yeshua. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu specifically tell him about Hotza'ah now? Why now? The Malacha was finished, and why now? Unbelievable. He says, maybe because Moshe Rabbeinu, it sounds like right after the Malacha was finished, oh, okay, now I got to tell you about Hotza'ah. according to Chazal. So says the Pnei Yeshua, quoting the name, it's not in the regular Pnei Yeshua. Shema Pnei Yeshua, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu just collected all the Machzor HaShekel. So now he knows how many Klal Yisrael there are. Wow, 600,000. It's a Rosh Hasharabim. I gotta tell you the Malacha of Hotzah. Says that's a Pnei Yeshua. Says Machzor HaShekel was just collected, right? That's what he just saw, how much there was. Malacha Yisadayim. Oh, Rosh Hasharabim Daraisa. According to those shitas that you need 600,000. Now I got to tell him about the Malacha of Hotzah. To come for today's daf for that. Dayenu. Says the Gemara. Ashkechan Hotzah. Hachnasa Minalan. Fine. I know Hotzah. What about Hachnasa? Right, going in. So Svari, the Gemara says, is this a logic? Michdi, Mirushus L'Rishushu, Mali Afuki, Mali Iyule. Important line. Well, isn't Hotza all about just changing Rishuyos? So, what's the difference if you go in or go out? It's changing Rishuyos. Miyu Hotza, Av, Hachnasa Tolda. But Hotza is the Av. Hachnasa is the Tolda. Says the Gemara, Umichdi, Ahamachayv, Yahamachayv. You're chayv for both. Amai kari le hai av, amai kari le hai tolda. What's the significance of calling one an av on a tolda? We had earlier the source for avos and toldos. We had back chilik malachas. We had a discussion on daf ayin. But ask the Gemara, what is the lamaisa difference between avos and toldos? Again, the Ramban here asks, why does the Gemara wait 95 blot to ask this question? Why not on daf beis? There are such crucial questions on this amud. Why did we wait? So the Ramban here asked that question. Why did we wait to ask this major question until now? Says the Ramban, because I would have thought the Kosalka Daitach, Avos are Malachos Ikarios, and Toldos are Tfelos. I would have thought, realize, like earlier we had, putting a seed in the ground is an Av, and watering plants is a Tolda. I understand that's a secondary type of act. But says the Ramban, all of a sudden we come to Hotzah, it's mamish the same act. Going this way, going that way. That's why the Gemara asks it here. It's the same exact thing. How do you call one an Ava, one a Tolda? All the Avas and the Toldas up till now, you could see that there's an Iker act and a Tafel act. But here it's the same thing. So why would you think it is any difference? Hotzah and Achnasa, it's the same exact thing. So why would you think there's any difference? So that's why the Gemara has to answer here. Mishkan, Nafgamina. The avich de avos bahadi hadadi, inamish de toldos bahadi hadadi, machayev tarti, if I do two different avos and two different toldos at once, I'm chayev two, because that's two different malachas. The oven, av, it told the day, oh, machayev alachada, but if I do an av and it's told, I'm only chayev one. Just parenthetically, the Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos, if you want to look it up, Zayin Vav, a little difficult line. The Rambam there says, Yireli, it appears to me that if you do two different toldos from two different malachas, you're chayev two. And the Kesef Mishnah and the Mari Kirkus, all there asks, Yireli? Yireli is always when the Rambam's coming up with a svara. He doesn't have a source for it. Yireli, a big chiddush. I think this is true. It's Mufurish Gemara. And even if he doesn't have this girsa, a little difficult, why would I have thought otherwise? I would have known for sure, the Rambam says, two different avos, you're chayev two. But two different toldos, I would have thought possibly you only chayev one. It's an amazing havamina. The Rambam says, yireli, that you're chayev two in that case also. Got to work on the havamina. Good. Says the Gemara, well, the Rabbi Lazar, the Machayev told him, Makamav, Amaikari Le'av, Amaikari Le'hu Tolda, according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that you're Chayev, I told him, Makamav, you're Chayev for an Av, and it's told you're Chayev too. So according to him, what's the difference? Why is one called an Av? Why is one called a Tolda? So we have a couple of Gersaos in the next line. Let's first read ours. Hach Tahavi B'mishkan Chashiva Kari Le'av. Right, what does that sound like? It sounds like whatever was in the Mishkan is chashuv, and therefore that's an av. Whatever was not in the Mishkan is not chashuv, and therefore is called a tolda. Tosas points out here that some other girsos have a vav before the word v'chashiva. So it might be two requirements, in the Mishkan and chashuv. So that is an important discussion. How do you define an av? How do you define a tolda? So where one has to look is the Rishonim right here and the Rishonim in Baba Kama Daf Beis. That's where, in all the yeshivas, right, we all learn Baba Kama, the first parak, but nobody gets to the 11th parak of Shabbos. So this is a big discussion in Baba Kama. So you have to look at the Baba Kama Sfarim to know exactly that point. We did discuss this one time earlier in this Pesachta, if you remember. It was a Shabbos Daf, but it was online, Daf Ayin Dalad, where the Gemara spoke about Kitisha. Ketisha, grinding, whether that's counted, the Gemara spoke about why that should be in the list of the 39. So again, Machloka is there, between Rashi and Tosfos, whether Ketisha was in the Mishkan, is it an Av, is it a Tolda? So we have that discussion a little bit over there, but it has to, here is the major discussion of it. So that's one answer. According to Rabbi Lazar, the difference is, what was in the Mishkan? Inami, or Hach de Ksiva, Kari Av, Vahach de Loksiva, Kari Tolda. What is written is an av, and what is not written is a tolda. So here, what's written, the hotzah is written, and that's why it is an av. Right? Tosfos says, "Achlishna lo israel elo mishum hotzah." The other malachas aren't written at all. Right? So for hotzah, the reason you pick hotzah and not hachnasa, because hotzah is the one that is written. Good. V'had it's not. That the Mishnah, the Gar says, we learned in the Mishnah later on, Hazorik Dalanamas Bakosel. Lamala miyatvachim kazorik ba'avir. If I throw a ball or something at a wall above four tvachim and it's sticky, so it sticks on the wall, I am putter because it's makom patur. Lumatam yitvachim, if I throw it under 10 tvachim, kazorik ba'aretz, like throwing it on the ground. So I'm chayev. V'hazorik ba'aretz dalanamas chayev. And if I throw dalanamas, I am chayev. That's the end of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Zorik amos birshas rabbi minolam demechayev. How do you know zrika? So again, we just focused on hotza'a and hachnasa. So now, what about zrika? Right? What about zrika? So I'm Rav Yoshia. Where was zrika in the Mishkan? We just said they didn't throw. Shekein orge yirio zarkten machtein zelazeh. The weavers of the curtains used to throw their needles to each other. So the Gemara says, argen machtein lamalu. Weavers? Weavers use looms. They don't use needles. So what do you mean they threw their needles? So Elashkein Tofer Yerios. You're right. The Tofrim, the sewers. After you had the begadim, you sewed them together, they use needles. Zorkin Machtayim Zelazeh. Says the Gemara Vedilma Gabe Hadadi Abiyasvi. Maybe they were sitting next to each other. So when they threw, it was within Dalet Amos. So how can you say that's the source for Zrika's Dalet Amos? So, by the way, we quoted the Mishnah later on from Daf Kuf. We didn't quote our Mishnah, which is also about Zrika, because we want to know about Dalet Amos. Right? Our Mishnah just says throwing from Rishus to Rishus. That's what we quoted that Mishnah. We want to know about Dalet Amos. So maybe they were sitting near each other. Matu hadadi b'machtin. No. If they sat near each other, so as they used their needles, they would have pricked each other. So they had to sit separate from each other. Maybe they were still sitting within four. So four, just a little bit separated. So you're right. Shekain ore yurios zarkin buchyar biuria. Go back to the weavers. The weavers used to throw what we would call, let's say, a spool of thread. They used to like throw it, they used to go over, under, they had to throw it to each other on the other side of the loom. Okay, you catch it, you go over, throw it back, you go under. So that is what they used to throw. The fancy name was the shuttle. V'halo ogda b'yado. But what do you mean? But they each held a string in their hand, meaning when they threw it, it was still attached to them. They threw it, but they still had the string. So that's not called zrika. B'nischa basra. Maybe it was the last thread. So when it was cut, so there was nothing held back by the thrower. That's what you have zrika in the Mishkan. Iva habalakam tur ka'azla. They were throwing it through the loom. So that's a malka patur. So again, where is it in the Mishkan? Ella, next try. Shekain arge yurio zarkin burchyar l'sho alehen. Ooh, maybe they sent it, they threw it to the people who wanted to borrow from them. Not to their buddy who was working on the same loom. They threw it to the next guy who was working, who was borrowing it. So that's the Gemara Vidilba Gabi Adadi Abi Yasvi. Maybe, again, they were sitting near each other. So the Gemara says, Matu Adadi Bechefes. No, they wouldn't, because by the edge, they would bump into each other again, like the Metzias, and that's why they wouldn't sit so close to each other. V'dilma shalchu fehavi mishalchi. Maybe they were staggered in a way where they wouldn't bump into each other, but it was still within Dalet Amos. V'su, mishi'ili mi'adadi. And also, did they have to borrow different kalim there? V'atanya luda, but luda teaches me, ish ish mi malachto asher hema osim mi malachto hu osev in osim malachas chaveru. Everybody had their own kalim. Nobody had to borrow. They spent. They worked and they figured out how to get it in the midbar, and they had their own. Visu, and the third question: Mavir Dalet Amos versus Rabbi Minol in the Bechayev. You're having so much trouble with Zrika. What about Mavir Dalet Amos in Rishus Arabim? Again, our Mishnah teaches me about Hotzah and Hachnasa. But what about Mavir? So Ella called Dalet Amos Rishus Arabim Gemara Gemirala. All Dalet Amos Rishus Arabim is Halacha Lemoshe Misinai Gemara Gemirala. Interesting, the Gemara puts everything together, Dalet Amos. Hotsa'a Dalet Amos versus Rabim, and Zrika, and Mavir, it's all Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. And again, keep in mind, we mentioned many times the discussion that we showed him right here. Staf Tzadik Vav, the Baal Amar, has the most beautiful formulation right here, that Mavir Dalet Amos is really a form of Hotsa'a. Because everybody has the Dalet Amos around them, that's their existence. When you go out of the Dalet Amos, you're going out of your Rishus. So that is a hotza'a me rishus la rishus. That formulation is taking a stand on what the halacha l'moshe misinai taught me. To put it in Reb Chaim's words, the Baal Amar understands the halacha l'moshe misinai of ma'avir as an expansion of hotza'a. I used to think hotza'a was literally rishus to rishus. The halacha l'moshe misinai teaches me that even going out of your dalet amos is a hotza'a me rishus le rishus. Other rishonim who might say ma'avir is separate, right? It's not an av, it's only a tolda. They might say, no, this is a chiddush din. There's hotza'a, and the halacha l'moshe misinai teaches me there's a new tolda of hotza'a called ma'avir dalet amos. Okay, we'll have to start this up tomorrow with a huge chiddush of the Chashukei Chemed, quoting other achronim, and then we'll get into the Mekoshesh. What malacha did the Mekoshesh do? It's going to come up here a little bit, and then we'll get into the next Gemara. Okay, we'll stop here.